a global bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Good to have you with us as we continue with Fallout, our coverage of the financial crisis. The $700 billion bailout bill has dominated news in this country, and today Britain has unveiled an enormous bailout package of its own. The UK says it will buy up as much as $88 billion worth of preferred stock in eight British banks and make $350 billion more dollars available to financial institutions. David Buick is a partner at BGC. David, how would this work?
Well, the way it would work for an old capitalist like me is a horror story, to be honest with you, because in the circumstances, it's not a bad deal. In the long term, I think it will be greeted with a certain amount of cynicism, because when something is semi-nationalized, it restricts the management in its business plan. And also it dilutes the equity of the existing shareholders who have seen catastrophic losses on their shares during the course of the last year and a half and are not very happy to have seen what's happened in the last two or three days.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because the markets have not reacted that well to the plans. It doesn't seem to have helped that much.
Yeah, but we're late out of the starting gate. Because the US government had no contingency plan after Bear Stearns to shore this up in a really serious... I mean, this was obviously going to be a horrific problem. And everybody behaved like ostriches, stuck their head in the sand, saying, this is a bad dream, it's going away. And it never was. And that's my issue with the UK government. They did the same. They stuck their head in the sand. It's nothing to do with me, mate. It is. It's to do with everybody. And it's the abrogation of taking responsibility immediately is what's exacerbated this problem on a global basis.
Do you think we're going to have to see sort of more sweeping action from central banks?
I think the central banks are absolutely key in the next 6 months. We need them for liquidity, not for solvency. Some of these banks are in quite good shape, funnily enough. It's just the fact is, because the system is shot to ribbons, that they can't raise deposits because everybody's clean out of confidence and clean out of trust. You get the confidence and the trust restored, and the show will be back on the road absolutely like a, you know, rocket.
David Buick is a partner at BGC Partners. David, thank you for talking with us.
It's a great pleasure.
If there's one thing all of these massive bailouts seem to have in common, it's that they're not doing much to cheer up investors. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 5% to close at 9,447. That means the Dow is down nearly 25% so far this year. London's FTSE is off almost 4.8% this morning. Germany's DAX is down 6.33%. A meeting of Europe's 27 finance ministers in Luxembourg wrapped up with guarantees for European bank accounts. Megan Williams has more.
Europe's finance ministers emerged from the meeting promising more financial soundness and stability. But the only concrete decision was a promise to guarantee all European bank deposits up to $70,000. Many larger countries like France wanted to insure twice that amount, but smaller, poorer EU countries can't afford it. Europe's finance ministers also agreed to allow more flexibility in bank accounting rules after the U.S. relaxed its rules to help banks avoid fire sales. The worldwide credit crisis will undoubtedly be the focus of this Friday's G7 finance meeting in Washington. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
The Department of Housing and Urban Development wraps up its two-day summit today. At issue, whether the government's assistance programs that are on the table would in fact help struggling homeowners. Daniel Carson reports.
HUD officials say there isn't a single solution to the housing crisis. The summit brings leaders from the housing and mortgage industries together with government officials to swap ideas. HUD spokesman Brian Sullivan.
There's a lot of new tools to help counties and cities and states purchase foreclosed abandoned properties so that they don't become sources of blight in their communities.
The feds are doling out $4 billion to help with the effort. They're also ramping up a $30 million program to help homeowners refinance high-interest loans. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the initiative will assist 400,000 households over the next 3 years. But John Taylor, who heads the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, says it's too little, too late.
The problem is there just isn't the kind of funds in there that's going to make a difference. It just doesn't match the magnitude of the problem.
Taylor says at least 2 million families are expected to face foreclosure next year. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Helping homeowners was a huge topic at the presidential debates last night. Senator John McCain unveiled a whopper of a plan to help the U.S. mortgage crisis.
I would order the Secretary of the Treasury to immediately buy up the bad home loan mortgages in America and renegotiate at the new value of those homes, at the diminished value of those homes, and let people make those, be able to make those payments and stay in their homes. Is it expensive? Yes. But we all know, my friends, until we stabilize home values in America, we're never going to start turning around and creating jobs and fixing our economy.
The candidates took questions from voters last night, and we thought we'd check in with some of our listeners, see what economic issues matter to them. Texas resident Dan Willett says the job market is of greatest concern. He's been looking for months and says he can't make his credit card payments.
Out of 250 resumes, I got one phone call. I'm at wit's end. I've applied at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, but they look at my resume and they automatically assume I'm overqualified and I would leave as soon as I found something better.
Jesse Eustace from Durham, North Carolina, told us what her economic indicator was.
When I saw that gas prices were going down, that really scared me because I know that what happened in the Depression was prices went down, and that's bad news.
Give us your thoughts. We'd love to hear them. Letters at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.